Winston Planning Commission, April 9th, 2025, 7 o'clock.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
State who's here.
Well, let me start here.
Mike DeRussia.
Renee Morgan. From Lake Episcopal.
That's okay. Rex Stevens.
Treva Hunter.
Steve Johnson.
Okay, and I thank people from the audience for being here. And
you're welcome.
And speaking of people in the audience, anyone wishing to discuss items not covered on the agenda are welcome to address the Planning Commission as a whole. Please state your name and address for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not defame, intimidate, or use profanity or personal affronts. Planning Commission reserves the right to delay action until they have full information on the issue. Is anyone wishing to bring up anything that's not on that agenda? Sitting down. Moving on, community development report.
Yeah, so there's a couple of items here on the agenda. In addition to that, since this agenda went out, there's just a few small things that I'll discuss as well. But starting with this, the flooding update. Overall, when we observed the damage from the flooding on March 16th and 17th, compared to other cities, in the area, Winston did okay. We had a pump failure over at Looking Glass Creek. Public Works would be able to speak more about that, but I know they got it up and running pretty quickly. A couple of the areas that were verified as a little more damage were the Riverbend RV Park right down here. The water came up pretty high in there. Because of that, we have started to work with the property owner to work towards compliance. We've noticed some floodplain issues in there that became pretty evident when the waters came in and started sweeping some things away. Most of it was recovered as far as like little areas, sections of fences and whatnot. But nonetheless, there's some floodplain issues that we are, like I said, going to be working with the property owner as well as individual tenants to work towards compliance with. All in all, most of those, I think actually everyone except maybe one lady, and we ended up evacuating her. Everyone got out of there okay. So it fared okay with a fairly minor amount of property damage sustained. Next thing we've got, the legislative amendment process. This is the current...
Are you done with... You're wanting to go on?
Yes, ma'am.
I have some questions about the floodplain update.
Go right ahead.
I know I'm off Woodland,
mm-hmm.
and you could not get out to 42 from there.
Mm-hmm.
Looking Glass Creek was flooding.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't get across that highway. You couldn't go up and around and come out at the co-op because that was all flooded.
Right, right.
You had to go all the way down to 42.
Yep.
Off Looking Glass.
Yep.
So, realizing this is not the only time we're going to have flooding,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure our area wasn't the only one that had issues with traffic circulation
right.
during the flood, I'm wondering, it seems to me it would be helpful to people to have some kind of emergency mapping so they know where to go when it's likely to flood.
Yeah, that's something, this another topic that I want to touch on is the new website. I think that we're in kind of the late stages of putting together some of the elements of that website. And as far as an emergency map, I'm not sure if one exists now, but I can't imagine it be something terribly complex to put together for...
No, you have it all.
I mean, Douglas County, they have a pretty advanced GIS system that we use quite often. So that's yet another resource that we could incorporate into that website as far as emergency, you know, where is the most likely areas that are going to be inundated and whatnot. And a lot of that goes along with the mapped floodplain as well. So it could be as simple as overlaying the mapped floodplain layer onto a map and saying...
Get public works to look at it, where were the traffic?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Would that not also be incorporated into, like, an emergency procedure manual for the city? I do recall, and correct me if I'm wrong, that Thomas had mentioned updating that probably a couple city council meetings ago.
Yeah, he may have. He's the one that would be heading up the emergency services for the city. That's something that we can discuss as far as what exists currently and what updates may need to happen, and then obviously... The big thing is the new website. That's where we're going to have to direct people to a lot of these resources. So that's another good thing to bring up.
But a lot of those things that are in the emergency management frame, when everybody's called together down at the fire department and stuff like that, that takes effect when the river has crested beyond the last flood stage, and this one was nowhere near that. But a lot of this was backup because of streams and other small ditches.
Mm-hmm.
Things were not...
5 inches of rain will do it, too.
Yeah. Well, but it should have taken care of it in a lot of places. But like in Roseburg, the drainage pipes... there along Stewart Parkway were just totally plugged.
Yeah.
And they just,
they had
fell through the cracks.
They had sinkholes, they had all kinds of stuff.
They had all kinds of things going on, and they still do. Mm-hmm. But
areas without proper culverts also.
Yes.
Just like Roseville had ugly flooding.
And they always do there with Newton Creek.
When you compare the inundation we had to the flood mapping that's available through FEMA, you'll see that we weren't even... I mean, there was high water for sure, but we weren't really near even a 100-year event.
No.
It was probably more like a 30-year event,
if that.
So that tells you how bad a 100-year event would be.
I heard it was like 4 feet below flood stage.
Right.
Here at the river,
right.
So as long as it's that, they're not even going to call out a lot of that. That's
you're getting flooding at the park already and it's 4 feet below flood level, that tells you it's flooding.
Yeah, and access... could
when
be.
When were the FEMA maps last updated?
For here, I think they're from 2010.
That's what I would think.
Yeah.
Well.
Yep.
So that's certainly a request.
Yeah. Yep. Updated firm panels. Yeah.
But being the county does have some pretty updated maps from at least 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay. For this area, do you know? Oh, okay. Interesting. That's good to know.
But I still don't think it would. Done anything for ditches overflowing and things like that.
Okay. Any more questions, Trio? Anyone?
No, but she had her hand up.
Oh, I was just going to ask, you know, the website is great, but through an event like that, I know we lost power.
Yeah.
So, you know, relying on just one piece of information wouldn't feel adequate.
So, in an event like that where you lose power, what would an alternative solution be?
Well, you get maps.
Have everyone in their household have a map, I suppose. I don't know how realistic that would be, but if it's something that they wanted, they could have it.
Send out a power bill every month.
True, yeah.
Water bill.
Okay. The legislative amendment process, that's going to be my long-range planning effort. We touched on this last meeting. The next phase is I'm finishing up a list of areas of the code that I want to revisit, that I think need to be revisited. Last meeting, I requested that if you guys... find the time to maybe, or if you've come across any circumstances that you think need to be looked at, by all means, bring them forward. This will be done at a workshop. I have not done a workshop. This will be my first one, and so I need to talk with Thomas and see what the procedure is for that. But basically, it's going to be citizens, the Planning Commission, and staff coming together and chatting about what we think needs to be looked at as far as the zoning code, the subdivision code, the floodplain code, the building code. I'm not going to go ahead and change the sections relating to police work, so that's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to look at planning-related things. I have a small list going. Like I said, I've probably got 5 or 6 items on there. And so that is, just so you guys are aware, that's kind of the next phase, is setting up a workshop to chat about these things, getting recommendations, you guys bringing recommendations, the public bringing recommendations to the code. Yeah, I don't know.
If you don't have much else to talk about, you can set the workshop dates with the commission here. This commission here can decide on a workshop date.
Okay.
Or it can be at your, if there's no actionable business, it can be just at your next scheduled Planning Commission meeting. You can make that a workshop.
That might be a good idea, because we could.
So it's up to you. If you can schedule one, so everybody's here, so they can look at the calendar. That's how that process.
Okay. Good to know. Thank you for that insight.
Thomas had some items that they were going to be bringing forward on the legislative amendment process they were looking at. And I know that the flood zone, floodway items, they were in that. That was about 2 years ago, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Year and a half, 2 years?
Not two. Because right before I had to take time off.
Okay. And so I know that he had a list of at least 2 or 3 items that were fairly high on the list, but one of the things on the flood, they were waiting for the county to update theirs, because there's no sense in updating yours until the next step. They take care of theirs, and then you can go under its auspices and add to it.
Gotcha. And that was a flood-related one?
It was. It had it dealt with building in flood zones, floodways, what the difference was, and what was not going to be allowed at all.
You don't happen to know if the county ever finalized?
I'm not sure.
Okay,
I
can certainly look into that.
They were working on it a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and most likely, so obviously the city's process didn't make it much further than that.
And it was, he along with Planning Commission thought that, because there is a great expense when you're doing this type of thing, it's best to have at least 3 items on there that you're looking at.
Right, right.
So that way you can get it in just one fell swoop.
Yeah, I think you can go too little, and I think you can go too great with it as well. It's a process that should be done. I think Thomas said typically it's done every 2 to 3 years. And I think 6 years ago was our last one. So we're behind. There's a couple areas where even the state laws have changed, and our code doesn't reflect that. And so that's very blatant that we need to update our code to meet those. So there's a couple of softballs that can't even really be up for debate. And then there's a couple areas that I think, just based on interactions with the public, that I think we might look at. So
I think right in the middle of when we were doing, checking out the legislative amendment, especially when it dealt with the floodways, that's when the state sprung the whole thing with you can build a tiny house in your backyard and stuff like that, and that just kind of stunned everyone, and it kind of set everyone back on their haunches, and we were kind of going, what do you mean you can do this? And,
state.
I think the guidance is out there now.
Yes.
So it might be easier to do.
Okay. No, that's good to know. Then, most likely, there's still documentation floating around on that work that was put in 2 years ago. So I could pull from that very easily as well.
Something's real.
Yeah, okay.
Robert, you both have some things that you guys worked on.
Yeah, that's good to know. Thank you. Any other questions on that one? Okay, this one I'll touch on real quick. The plan amendment zone change that I've got in the works. We went back and forth with completeness for a little while on it with the applicant. it officially is considered complete, and so the next step is noticing it with the standard notice as well as with DLCD, the state agency. They require a 35-day notice, so then the next 35 or so days, they'll be reviewing that as well as it'll be sent to the adjacent property owners of the right distance. And then I'll be doing the staff report for that, and that will be before you guys at some point in the future. So just wanted to give an update on that.
And who's the applicant on that?
It's a property owner, just one property, and he's working with a land use consultant named Mark Garrett.
And Mark, who's the property owner?
His name is Lanny McBride.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's all the info I can give since this will be coming to you guys down the road. This one came to me just today. I was not aware of this, but Thomas got it on my radar, and I'm glad he did. And if any of you have heard of this, please chime in. But the Statement of Economic Interest, it's a survey that's required. And Thomas informed me that the survey is due by April 15th. Have any of you...
Already done it.
Okay. Great.
Have you...
No.
Okay.
Yeah, that's for ethics.
Yes.
You're supposed to be given it right when you get on the plane.
They do it every year. They read.
Is that a one?
Every year.
It's an annual.
Annual. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they'll send an email link. So
okay.
They didn't get an email link. You didn't get one, or you don't have emails. So I'm not sure how to handle yours. So we'll get you an email link.
You
got to
go online.
Okay.
And then you'll be able to click the link and go.
I can call
and do it.
We'll have to find a different method. It'll be whoever whatever department has the form that you submit to that will give the final answer on the methods in which you can complete it. So
yeah. It's right there online.
Okay.
It states it.
April 15th is the date on that one. So thank you for having some more clarity on that. The last one, no, I got one more here, and then one more. Planning Commission meetings and times. And Treva, you and I spoke about this on the phone. The Planning Commission meetings are set generally, and I'm going to make this not generally, I'm going to make this the rule, the second Wednesday of each month. I talked to Thomas about it this afternoon before he had left for the day. And I tossed around the idea of previous places that I've worked, if there's no land use actions or items that required the commission action, there wouldn't be a meeting that month. And I thought, that's what I'm used to. And so having a meeting every month is something that I'm still getting used to. And Thomas said, bring it up tonight. And I went home this afternoon and I thought about it. And I think for Winston, it does make sense to hold a meeting once a month, regardless of land use actions, because I think it would open the door to confusion to say, are we meeting this month or are we not? Do we have an item? Do we not? Who can make it? You know, who's out? Second Wednesday every month. I think it's important to just keep that consistent, whether we have land use actions or not. And as part of the meetings with no land use actions, such as tonight, we can talk about the community development report.
Yeah, we can have a workshop.
Workshop ongoing. I think it's good to keep communication open. One thing I do want to ask you guys to think about is, would you consider having a meeting at 5:30 instead of 7 p.m. or 5 or 6? To me, 7 is a little bit late, but I want to be flexible and I want to throw that out as an idea. If any of you want to speak up on preference on time right now, go ahead. If you want to just sit and think about it, that's fine as well. But I just thought I'd get that on
your
radar.
One of the reasons you usually do 7 o'clock is so the public can attend that are working,
okay.
Not for our ease.
Okay. Generally, 5 p.m. is the end of work day.
Yeah, I like 7. Just
okay.
It, you know, I mean, woohoo, 50 feet of traffic. But, you know, if everybody's already home, then they have a
chance to get here before it's over.
I could have just, God willing, but I have children I have to feed.
There you go. This is why I introduced it.
Unless you want them sitting there, which you don't.
Yeah, I don't get off generally till 4:30, and by that time I have to go home and take care of my husband before I can go do anything else.
Okay. This is great info.
But I'm not opposed to middle of the day.
I have to work in the middle of the day.
I do too, but it's easy to call it a lunch and run errands and
go to meetings. Oh, I babysit 16-year-olds.
Oh, yeah. I don't envy you. I have one.
Okay, that's great info. That's why I brought it to you guys. Okay, no preference, but we got some potentially conflicting things. So I think for right now, we'll just keep it the way it is, and I'm good with that. I was just throwing it out. I'm in Roseburg, so I'll go after work and go home for an hour and a half or so, and then come back. So I thought if no one had any objection, I might as well throw it out there. But it is not a problem for me.
We can find a place for you to volunteer. A feral cat needs some help. We got lots of things to keep you busy between.
I want to say goodnight to my 2-year-old before I don't see him all day. That's the last thing I have. Second to last, the very last thing is the introduction of the new commission member, Anika Driscoll. If you would like to, don't have to by any means, but if you want to give a brief statement about why you joined the board, we'd love to hear from you.
Well, I was asked to, just because I think the city manager and the mayor know my commitment to the community. I'm already on the park board. I see many of you at many other meetings. I have a nonprofit. I do all sorts of community events throughout the year. I frequent this place. So there was a vacancy, and I have a mind for building up this community and bringing more things in. And so where better to be than with planning?
Thank you. Thank you very much. And that concludes my community development report.
Any old business? I see none. New business? I see none. Other business? For the good of the order, does anyone on the commission have anything they'd like to bring forward? Any questions that they would like to certify?
Is there anything that I need to be brought up to speed on, or have we already touched on?
We need to get you some books.
We need to have these lovely little brochures.
Awesome.
None of us have. I've never gotten anything. And so I've been on for 6 months.
We need to get some.
Yeah. A lot of folks do things electronically, so I didn't. But
I mentioned that
you still need a book. So Treva needs a book. Do you want a hard copy of the Title
I would
five?
Prefer a hard copy
title five,
if I have paper. To, because I don't.
We can do
I
that.
Don't like to read. But I will if it's something that is.
Yeah, we can do that.
It's also
for like an easy reference.
It's also available on the website.
The only trouble when you're doing a deep dive into some of the ordinances and working with any kind of development is I like to use sticky tabs, and my screen doesn't like sticky tabs.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that's right.
You know,
do you have any books?
No, I've got.
You have one.
I've got.
But they're really nice for some of us who don't have a background in planning, because when things come up,
for anyone,
it's really nice to be able to go through and look and go, oh, that's
your
what that is.
Yeah, no one's memorizing that. So.
Right, well, when I'm hearing the legislative amendments, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
I gotta.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good referent, yeah, for sure.
Well, and maybe that's, you know, maybe sometime you want to do an educational workshop for the Planning Commission.
Yeah.
You know.
That would be awesome.
No. A lot of us are new. A lot of things have changed.
What is it going to cost to do that, you think?
To do what?
Usually you could get a grant.
Oh, it's all I have to do is go back and print it and put it in a binder that I have in a shelf back there, and then I get a yellow piece of paper around that, put a code on it. No rest.
Okay.
So
but for you, $10.
Okay.
I'm just teasing, you know. I will have two hard copies for the two for these
let's
two.
Let's see. Do you need?
I have.
Do you have one?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Okay, so two.
It's a tree bed. Okay.
I'd be happy to go print those off right now, or would you like to pick them up sometime later in the Is that okay?
Yeah, okay. I have one more question. Are we on to other things? Or?
We're on good of the order. So.
Good of the order. I was wondering, especially when, you know, those recent rains, I know the Planning Commission before I was on approved, I don't know if it was a conditional use permit for the RV park down here across from the co-op.
The proposed.
You gave them, was it a CUP, a conditional use permit?
Yes, from 2022, at the end of 22, I believe.
And you extended it 1 year. I think Thomas did that administratively.
Okay.
So my question is, when is that year up?
That's a great question. That would be something that's within the file as far as the actual date.
They might know.
Yeah.
They contracted and it wasn't going to happen.
Sold,
they're
going to
know.
It's for sale. It is leased. The CUP was granted in February. It was at the end of February of 2022. Might have been late January, but I think it was actually granted the 13th is sticking in my mind for some reason. So 2024, it would have been up after the extension.
There's no longer an approval of that.
Yeah, he retracted.
I would want to confirm that because I want to give you the right info on some things are valid for 1 year, some things are valid for 3 years.
It was one year.
So with an extension, right? So 2 years. 2 years total.
Requested for financial reasons. Okay. But then now it's for sale.
So it may be dead at this point, but I can confirm that. What I do know is that no progress has been made. It's up for sale. We actually just recently got a public records request for any new info on it. That was you. Did you get my email?
I didn't look this afternoon.
Okay.
I just sent it this afternoon.
I did.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. Nothing.
I'm just doing that every quarter.
Yeah. No, it absolutely can't hurt. We definitely haven't received it. It's been quiet.
Yeah.
We haven't received anything on it. So I did confirm though with Thomas because I was curious. I said if they were to sell it, would it drop dead by virtue of sale? And he said actually no. A conditional use runs with the property itself.
Right. That's why I want to ensure
that
the conditional use permit is void now.
Yep. So now it comes down to dates.
So when you do the minutes for this meeting, I'd like to see this text about what the facts are about that.
On the drop dead date.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a discussion, yeah.
Yep.
Because it was definitely a contentious
situation. Oh, yeah. Well, and I think we all saw the lake that was out there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, insurance company that lake, and they'll never let it build there. I don't see how they could.
Yeah.
It's not wetlands. So that I can bring to the next one.
not really. It doesn't meet the contingencies for a wetland because it doesn't have all the right plants. It's just
it depends if DSL has done a wetlands inventory on it.
Yeah, on the other
it's
side,
it's not just we say it's
on
not.
On the
it's
other
do it
on the other side of the highway where the landing is. There is a wetlands over there.
Mm-hmm. Isn't the canal isn't part of that? Wetland. I seem to remember something.
Yeah, there is a delineated
part of that.
Wetlands, high bank water.
Right over there on the canal side.
And I think that goes clear up to that creek.
I think it's just the riparian area of the creek that goes through.
That's
the,
what it is. It's high water mark, I think.
Yeah.
I've seen it, but it's been a while. Anything else? Favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Meeting adjourned 7:30.